Current State on 90.5 WKAR. The next Joanne and Bill Church West Circle Series concert from the MSU College of Music happens Monday. It's called Maurice Ravel, Man of Mystery, and features a number of MSU faculty musicians, including the head of the college's piano area, Deborah Moriarty. She talked to Current State's Melissa Benmark about the program and the composer.
So little is known about Ravel's private life. He kept very much to himself, and which is kind of unusual with musicians. He was a perfectionist. He was someone who was kind of a loner, never married, and no one really knows much about relationships. I actually have kind of an interesting story that goes with that. When I was a student at Juilliard, I lived with a woman who was Rebecca Clark Friskin. And Rebecca Clark is a very well-known English violist who wrote some very often played a piano trio and a viola sonata. And she tells the story about telling Ravel's fortune. She met him, and it was at a gathering. She was related to some of the very important arts people in England. And she was also a very talented fortune teller, apparently. And so she took out the cards and told his fortune and said that she saw in his life a dark woman. And apparently he was very startled. And she wondered at the time that she told me the story whether she had sort of hit a nerve or whether he was just startled at the idea that there would be a dark woman in his life. But she also, from the point of view of having spent time with him, said he was a very private person. So that's where the mystery comes from.
You also mentioned him being a perfectionist. Where does that show up? Where do you see that in his work?
Certainly in his writing. Ravel took tremendous pains with everything that he wrote. In fact, one of the interesting things about the piano trio is that he wrote it in kind of a hurry because it was written right before World War I, and he was going to be involved in the war. He wanted to be a pilot, and that didn't turn out. So he ended up being a truck driver, which is sort of hard to imagine the dandy Ravel being a truck driver, but he was. So he had to finish the trio within 5 weeks and wrote to someone saying that he had essentially just done 5 years' work in 5 weeks. And that was very disturbing to him because he wanted to be able to get everything exactly right, very much of a perfectionist.
Well, plus, I suppose, going off of the war, he didn't necessarily know if he was going to have a chance to finish it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
People talk about the color in Ravel's music, and for those of our listeners who didn't do so well in music theory class, what is color and where do we hear it in Ravel's music?
Well, color in music is many things. It's harmony. It's what you do on the instrument. You can play with color on the piano depending upon how you voice chords. Color is orchestral color, going what instruments you decide to use and what instruments you decide not to use. It's the how much vibrato a violinist chooses to use or not to use. With voice, it's probably a little more clear because they can do things with words, so you get this sense of color. But there's also the sense of color that you get when you have pieces by, for instance, Liszt, who takes Schubert songs, and they don't have any words anymore, but he transcribes them for piano. And he does word painting, which is also color. How do you make the words come alive on the piano? So lots of different kinds of color. With Ravel, there's always a sense of color. Ravel was an amazing orchestrator, probably one of the greatest, without question. And he not only orchestrated other people's works, notably Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, which is possibly one of the most famous collaborations of two great composers, but he also orchestrated his own works. So you have things like the Mother Goose Suite, which was originally written for piano four hands, and there's an orchestration of it. And you have the Valse Noble Sentimentale, which the same thing, he orchestrated that. That's a piano piece that he orchestrated. You have La Valse, which is an orchestral piece and a piano piece. So you have all of these amazing pieces by Ravel with amazing orchestration. So clearly he was always thinking about color when he wrote. This was something that was foremost in his mind, and it really comes across in his writing.
So you've played his piano music, you've heard and played orchestral versions probably of his music. Mm-hmm. Where do you think at the end of the day did he really live? Was he really a pianist, or was the orchestra really his instrument?
I think the orchestra was always his instrument. I think he always thought orchestrally. Even when he's writing for the piano, it's very clear that there's something else there. I mean, the amount of composers who orchestrate their own works, you know, that doesn't happen very often. You get other people who orchestrate them, but people orchestrating their own works, and Ravel really, I think that was really always in his mind.
You'll be doing the Habanero with Dean James Forger, and what is a Habanero, and why did it appeal to Ravel's sense of artistry?
The Habanero is a dance, Spanish dance. Ravel's mother was Spanish, and from the Basque country, and this was something that was very, very close to his heart, and you can hear it in a lot of his music, as jazz was close to his heart. He was a friend of George Gershwin's, so you get the piano concerto that has a huge jazz influence in it. And the Habanero is actually a very lovely piece, and it's sort of one of these pieces that transcends instruments. It's played by everybody. It's, I think, originally written for voice, and there's a flute version. This particular version is a saxophone version, which I think is completely valid because Ravel wrote for the saxophone.
There are quite a few pieces on this program, and you'll be playing in a number of them. Do you have a favorite of Ravel's?
On this program, I mean, all the pieces are wonderful. And one of the things about this particular, the West Circle series, is that we're able to take a composer and show different sides of the composer through different medium that the composer used. So you have piano four hands, you have flute, harp, and cello, you have saxophone and piano, and then you have the piano trio, which is violin, cello, and piano. I guess the showstopper is the last piece, the piano trio, which is really one of the major piano trios. I think everyone acknowledges that. It's also one of the most difficult piano trios. Ravel really, you know, maybe if he had had the 5 years to finish it out, he would have made it a little easier. But he didn't, so he kind of left it in this incredibly difficult state. So it's acknowledged to be one of the greatest trios, but also one of the most difficult to play. But it's a beautiful piece and a real showstopper.
Well, Professor Deborah Moriarty, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.